Welcome to this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, where we are continuing our series of going through and creating our audiobook of real ghost stories, haunting encounters told by real people. Last week on our EPP bonus episode, you got to hear the first couple of chapters. Today, we continue on where we left off as we give you our EPPs, the first opportunity to hear our audiobook. Real ghost stories, haunting encounters told by real people. Continuing on. Unexpected exorcism. For many of us, the image of an exorcism is probably something along the lines of a priest holding a crucifix, people throwing vials of holy water, and the possessed undergoing strange bodily contortions. As we see in the following story, apparently not all exorcisms are routine. This was a story that made us wonder about the degree to which a person can be possessed and the ability a person may have to intervene or break away from a demon taking over their body. The idea of a youth group leader being able to pull off an exorcism effectively doesn't exactly play within the lines of the narrative many of us have come to understand, as you will see in the story. However, many accounts and experiences we cover on our show made me question the norms or preconceived ideas of what is done when it comes to combating the paranormal. Please keep in mind that we do not choose our stories to push a religious narrative of any denomination or to cast doubt on another. We take all letters and calls at face value without judgment and let you, the listener or reader, decide what you want to believe or accept in hearing the account as expressed by the author of the letter. It's up to the writer or caller to submit as accurate an account as possible. Personally, we look at this story as another unconventional experience that was a reality for a troubled young woman and the solution she found for her troubles. Is the solution she found the path for everyone? Likely no. But in her case, she claims it brought her peace from the troubles she had been experiencing. At the end of the day, that peace from torment is what most are seeking, and I am happy she found it. This is the story from Brittany. The story takes place from when I was 13 until I was 17. At the time of this writing, I am 22 and happily free from this demon that had taken over my life. I've always been a bit sensitive to the supernatural. I've had a few paranormal things happen to me, but nothing tops when I started getting into Wicca to learn more about why I see these beings. At first, I started doing deviation and conjuring spells alone with friends. We did everything by the books that we were told to do to make sure the spirits we encountered couldn't stay around. But it didn't work. I'd start waking up at the night to find my room getting really cold. I'd get very panicky. That feeling started getting stronger and stronger, making me more uneasy. One night, I woke up to that feeling and I saw a huge, tall shadow stand at the foot of my bed. This mass blocked the light coming from the rec room where my brother was gaming. But I couldn't scream. I was in too much shock. I closed my eyes and waited for it to do something to me. And when I opened them, it was gone. That was the last time I physically saw it, that thing, clearly. Other times, I'd be getting ready and I would see something hiding behind the door frame. I told a few friends about this and how I was scared. So we asked my friend's mom, who is a Wicca practitioner, the same one who gave us instructions about how to cleanse the area after a ritual. She told us how to drive out the spirit from the house. We followed her advice and things seemed to calm down for a couple of days. However, one night a few weeks later, my mom and I were watching TV in the living room. After we both fell asleep on our couch, I woke up to this feeling again. This baffled me because it would have usually left me alone if someone else was in the same room as me. I went into a weird half-trance that I really can't explain. Then all of a sudden I felt an invisible force start choking me. As it was choking me, I could hear a demonic laugh in my head, and I could smell dead flesh. During this time, I could feel the presence burrow into my chest. It almost felt as if it were attempting to infect my soul. After a few seconds, it finally let go, and I was free to move again. I instantly got up and spoke to my mom, who I startled awake. Although I was in hysterics, she brushed it off and told me I just had a nightmare and to go back to sleep. I didn't get any sleep that night or for the next 4 years. After that night, I'd wake up from night terrors. I'd find myself with claw marks and bite marks on parts of my body that I couldn't even reach. I saw things lifted and dropped by the invisible force. There was a day when my friend and I were down in the bedroom and she jokingly went into my closet and closed the door, only to burst out a few seconds later saying that something attacked her. The worst part of it was the mental things that it did to me. I got very depressed and suicidal. It would implant ideas in my head, such as everyone would be happier with me dead, and I should get it over with and just kill myself. But the spirit was so clever in this. It was also very convincing and clever. It convinced me that these thoughts were my own, and not its wishes for me. I almost went through with these horrible thoughts a few times, but my plans would be interrupted. When I was 17, almost 18, I'd been living with this thing for 4 years. I was so worn out by it that I was majorly depressed. I wasn't doing well in school and had turned to drugs and booze to mute the voices in my head, but I was still a practicing Wicca, thinking that it would help me. I tried every sort of cleansing thing that I could. I learned later that this was the thing causing it to get worse and worse in the first place. At this time, a Christian-based youth center had opened up in our town to help youth get off the street and to give us a safe place to hang out. None of us was happy with it being Christian-based, but we went anyway because we had nothing better to do in our small town. The church's youth center had changed pastors, and he'd come out and hang out with us. One night, I had a massive headache, and we were sitting in the kitchen while the pastor was talking to someone else about how he had become a Christian. The conversation ended, and the guy left. He started coming towards me, and I was like, oh boy, here we go, because I hated pastors and I didn't trust them. I ended up talking to him for a bit, and he seemed to be a good man. While talking with him, I was increasingly getting a sicker and sicker feeling in my stomach. He noticed I was shaking. He asked me what was wrong. I told him what was going on, and he said, that was a sign of demonic possession. I was baffled. Immediately, the voices in my head were going crazy, screaming at me to get out of there and telling me that he's mean like all the other men I knew, and he'll hurt you. I felt like I was going to jump out of my skin. It took all my strength to stay sitting there. He then asked me if I'd like to get rid of this horrible feeling and become a Christian. My response was something along the lines of, no. Then I walked away that night with no intent on ever returning. Soon after this, the activity level increased more and more. I was being strangled and pinned down, having more night terrors, tripping down the stairs and getting scratched and bitten. I couldn't eat anything because I would throw it up every time. That is until I arrived back at the church. Finally, after about 2 weeks, I said to myself that I was ready. I visited the center again and met up with the pastor, not knowing what to expect. The only thing I could think of were dramatic moments in horror movies, where a priest would violently drive a demon out of an unsuspecting girl. When I arrived, they only asked me to accept Jesus. However, to get the demons out completely, I was going to have to come back when there was less commotion and other interference. The pastor and the youth leader took me into the quiet office and started praying over me. He told me later that my face was contorting in ways that they had never seen before. I also have a recollection of involuntary lifting up the left corner of my lip to show my teeth like a dog would. He also said that I had a hard time saying the word Jesus when in my mind I thought I was saying it fine. After their prayers, I snapped out of it. I felt like I was split in two. The demon and I were not cohabitating in my body anymore. Thank God it was gone. The night after this experience, I had the best sleep I've had in years. I kept going to church, and I've never had a reoccurrence since. Dog visitors. Often when a ghost animal is involved in a story, the identity of that animal is well known. Commonly, it's a former pet, or at least recognizable to someone close to the individual experiencing the haunting. What's very confusing about the story you're about to hear is that the animals involved seem to have no relationship with the person witnessing their presence. Their purpose is also very much in question as to whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. Without being able to identify and examine all of the physical surroundings at the time of the experience, one must only go off the experience being recounted. Is it all paranormal? That's for you to decide. And often a question that will linger with those who've experienced these things for the rest of their lives. That wraps up our preview portion of this EPP bonus episode, EPP number 262 of Real Ghost Stories Online. In part two of our episode, as we continue on into our book, we are going to hear a shocking story from a healthcare facility, a facility that is very old, turn of the century, meaning 1900, not 2000. So this is more than a 100-year-old facility. And a individual who is employed there working the late night shifts has doorknobs turning on their own in areas where no one should be, shadows behind doors, and it gets even darker than that. You don't want to miss it. Part two, you can get it if you're an EPP, an extra podcast person that's a supporter of our show. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up to be an EPP. $5 a month gets you access to this and all 262 bonus episodes in their entirety. Those are our best ghost stories ever. As we enter into the fall season, if you're wanting the best ghost stories, you need to be an EPP, an extra podcast person of Real Ghost Stories Online. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get it all. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.